Amen. Good morning, family. Good to see you this fine day. As I was preparing this message, I looked at one of the bookshelves in our house, and we have a book that's called How to Clean Everything. There is a science to cleaning. There are chemical reactions that take place to remove stains. I have always worked with my hands, and some dirt, soap and water takes care of. Other dirt, you cannot get off with just soap and water. It's an embarrassing thing when your hands are dirty and you've washed them and dirt is under your fingernails and people are looking at you like, And I speak with my hands, so it's very obvious. You can't necessarily just take any chemical and put it on your hands because although it may take away the stains, it can also seep into your bloodstream. Certain things just aren't easily cleaned. We use the word clean in many different ways. We speak of a clean heart when we're talking about right motives. Or we tell someone, hey, you need to come clean. In other words, confess or tell the truth about something. We say often, keep your nose clean, stay out of trouble. Or you got a clean slate. In other words, you're going to have a fresh start. The word clean is going to be used in our text this day, and we're going to explore it for the next couple of minutes. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I'll be reading out of the ESV. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start reading from verse 12. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. It reads this way. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded for proof of them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of all of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Lord, you have given us your word as a gift. Your word is a great treasure. And the deeper we dig, the more we're blessed. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lead us this day in righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, as I articulate your truths this day, in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we have this leper who comes to Jesus, and he falls on his face and begs him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Why would the leper ask him to make him clean instead of asking him to be made well or to be healed? The leper does not ask to be healed. He asks to be made clean. He's actually asking much more than to be healed. There have been times when I've woken up and realized I'm scratching and I'm like, whoa, I have a rash. And at this point, I got to kind of go through my Rolodex in my head and say, what did I eat? Or did I touch poison ivy when I was doing the honey-do list yard work that my wife sent me to do? But in ancient Israel, it was different. If you woke up with a rash and it spread over time, the Mosaic law commanded you to go and to the priests to be examined. They were the acting board of health. The priests would check you out, and then if you had a rash, they would quarantine you for 7 days, and then they would re-examine you. And if the rash spread and they looked at other aspects of your health, they would possibly determine you to be unclean. What did it mean to be deemed unclean? It was something or someone unfit to be used in the worship of God. Being clean or unclean was a ceremonial designation governing the rituals of corporate worship. Many things could take place to give someone a temporary unclean status. It could be eating food you were not supposed to eat. It could be you coming in contact with a dead body and touching it. It could be bodily fluids, or it could be some kind of rash. And in this case, this person was designated with having leprosy. It appears that in this situation that this person had the most severe type of leprosy, because the text tells us he was full of leprosy. For this man, he got a rash and he went to the priests and they deemed him unclean. It tells us in Leviticus 13, verse 45, that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let their hair of their head hang loose. And you shall cover, he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has this disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. So what that meant was he could no longer go home. He couldn't go to his family. He couldn't go to his job. He could no longer go to the synagogue. He must leave town. And the people who were associated with this condition, they were associated with having sinned. Not unlike the man who was blind from birth, and when Jesus walked by with his disciples asked, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? So when someone found themselves in this condition, the thought was, you did something to deserve that. So when they looked at a leper, they looked at him with disdain. Your condition is what you deserve. You are unclean. History books tells us that one rabbi would brag that I would not even buy an egg off the street from that a leper walked down that street. Another rabbi bragged that he would throw rocks at lepers to keep them away. So this is now the condition this person found themselves in. And the condition got worse over time. We all need to live in some kind of community. The only option the leper would have is to associate with other lepers, a band of outcasts. Most of them further along than when you just got there in their disease. So it's a constant reminder, this is what's in store for your tomorrows. The worst form of leprosy, the bacteria would attack and you would have patches on your skin and then it would spread. It would swell, it would lose colors and color, and you would have sores and you would have ulcers and there would be nerve damage. And because of the nerve damage, you wouldn't be able to feel. It can affect your eyes. It would even cause blindness. It would affect your teeth where your teeth would fall out. It would affect your larynx. So when you spoke, it would be a raspy voice. This is just my voice. They were considered the living dead. They were outcasts. They had no hope. Imagine what that would do to a person's mind. Their body is already in torment, and now their mind, the isolation, the thought, there is no cure. You're going to die sick, an outcast, away from your family, away from God, and you've been told you deserve this. It's over for you. One day you hear about Jesus, the miracles that he is doing, and he's casting out demons, and he's making the sick well. You hear about the words that he's speaking, and maybe you go to the outskirts of some crowd that's gathering to hear him speak, and you hear the words of life yourself, and you start to say, if these things that he is saying is true, maybe he can make me clean. But would he? Does he clean lepers? Maybe God doesn't care, and my condition that I'm in is a punishment, and maybe he won't change me. Maybe I've been so bad that exactly what I'm receiving is what I deserve. This was this man's condition. And now we hear this man's request. The text tells us when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. This man apparently had no doubt in the Lord's ability to heal him. It was about Christ's willingness. As a rule, men don't naturally associate love and power. They believe in the existence of power more readily than they agree or think of love. Oh, I know power exists. Most of the time, what we've seem to experience is love is absent. This man is asking the right question. I know you can, but are you willing? Or maybe is it your will that I be clean? That's a good question to ask. Is it your will? Often we associate God's will being contrary to ours as, no, God has the power, he's just not willing. And when we think that way, we think of it in a way like, I want this and I know what's best, but God won't give it to me. I hear people say often, God doesn't answer my prayers. Well, that's not true. I've never prayed a prayer that God hasn't answered. Never. No is an answer. Not now is an answer. Yes is an answer. The question is, do you have a problem with the answer? If God were to say, I'm not willing, do you believe God's will is perfect? Do you believe that God's will is perfect for you? Do you believe in God's will and his perfection that he is loving you by giving you the answer, whether it's the answer you like or not? Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. This is a question being asked of Jesus, which kind of lends to the extent of his compassion. Do you even care about me? Maybe this man was thinking. I heard what you can do. Would you do it for me? We ask this question often. I've seen you function and operate in other people's lives, but I feel like it's never in my life. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And the text says, and immediately the leprosy left him. So we have the condition this man was in. We have the request the man made, and now we see the result. The man is now clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus touching the leper is significant because you were to not touch an unclean thing, lest you be unclean. The truth is, ministry is messy. And we be the mess. But for the spotless Lamb of God, Nothing can cause him to be unclean. Not even our filth. The touch reveals Jesus' willingness. We already knew he was able. A lot of people, Jesus healed by speaking a word. But this man, he touched. We hear through the gospel accounts, and Jesus healed many. And every once in a while, they will isolate a situation like this leper and his condition. Jesus, in the same way he touched that man, is able and willing to touch any condition. The text says, and he charged him, go, tell no one. Go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. Jesus sends this man after he heals him to the priest, which Leviticus 14 tells us to do, to confirm his healing so that he would be able to have reentry back into society and so that the priest would see the miracle that Jesus has done, knowing only the Messiah could do this. Why would Jesus say also to the man, be silent about this healing? In chapter 4 of Luke, after Jesus laid his hands on many and cast out demons, it says at the end, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And people sought him and came to him, and they would have kept him from leaving. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. Catch this, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. First off, know that the miracles that Jesus was doing, yes, he wanted to bless the people by taking care of their temporary situations, but it was to validate his message. It was to prove I'm God. He came, he was sent to preach the good news of the gospel and the kingdom of God. So often, we just want our temporary blessing. Like the good news of the gospel is for like the by and by. Like I'll worry about that at the end of my life, like you know when that is. But right now, I need more money in my account. I need my shoulder to stop hurting. I need my child to be saved. These are legitimate things that God cares about. But it is the good news of the gospel that we really need. That's our biggest need. Why did Jesus tell this man to be quiet? Well, this account of him healing the leper is not only in Luke, but is also in Mark. It's also in Matthew. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 45, he gives the reason, and it says that Jesus is saying, don't say anything to anyone. But he went out and began to talk freely. It's crazy how when we get our need met, how we could just be disobedient after that until the next time. We all do it. He went out and began to speak freely about it, and the news spread so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. He switched places with the leper. The leper couldn't come to town. Now Jesus can't come to town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Our text in Luke ends this morning with, "But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Jesus would go off by himself and pray. The demands of ministry are endless. Life never stops and needs never end. In Jesus' humanity, it was necessary for him to go and to recharge. There were times in the gospel accounts where you hear that Jesus healed someone and it says, and power went out from him. I could tell you this, in our humanity doing ministry, it's endless and it's hard. Now, I'm kind of old, but I'm not old enough where I have to take a nap every day. But every Sunday after I preach, every Sunday, I take an old man's nap. Doing ministry is not the same thing as spending time with the Lord. That's real important for everyone who is engaged in ministry. It's just like going to work on behalf of your family so that you could pay your bills is not the same thing as spending quality time with them. Like you don't come home to your children and say, "Hey, the quality time that you need, I spent at work, but no, it was for you." Like, no, Jesus went away to spend time with his Father. Him being about his business and ministry was a very different thing. Like, we need to know that. You can come on up, worship team. So the question of the day is, preacher, why are we talking about lepers? What in the world does that have to do with my life? I ain't run into one lately. Well, we're talking about lepers because we're not very different from this leper. We may not have an outbreak in our skin, but we have a worse condition. Sin is uglier and much more damaging than that picture that we see outward in a leper. Leprosy, which is known now as Hansen's disease, is a chronic bacterial infection that affects the skin, the nerves, the respiratory tract, and the eyes. Just as leprosy manifests itself through physical symptoms, so sin manifests itself through spiritual and moral consequences. Initially, oh, it all seems insignificant. Oh, it's small. Leprosy often begins with a small discoloration on your skin. At first, it may seem harmless, but over time, it spreads. Sin always starts subtly. Perhaps it's a small compromise. It's a minor lie. It's a selfish thought. However, if left unchecked, it's going to grow. And it grows into greater spiritual corruption. Leprosy and sin have another thing in common: numbness, the loss of sensation. One of the key symptoms of leprosy is nerve damage. It leads to the loss of feeling in the affected areas. Because of this, a person may injure themselves without realizing it. It leads to infection. It leads to deformities. Sin also numbs a person's conscience. Over time, repeated sin can make some desensitized to guilt, to moral awareness. We call it a hard heart, because callous is being built. What once felt wrong all of a sudden becomes the normal. It leads to further spiritual decay. Both of these ailments are progressive in its deterioration and its deformity. If left untreated, leprosy worsens. It causes severe damage to the skin, to the muscle, to the bones, leading to deformity like clawed hands, fingers missing or toes, and disfiguration. You've seen movies where they depicted a leper. Sin is uglier than that. Sin is also progressive, if not repented of. It can distort a person's character. It always affects relationships. It always affects moral integrity. It always affects your spiritual life. The wages of sin is death. That means that sin leads to destruction. It's just not what physically is going on around us. It leads to destruction for eternity. Both of these conditions lead to isolation and separation. In biblical times, a leper being considered unclean forced them out of the camp. They were cut off from all family, all society, and from worship. Sin creates separation between not only individuals, but separation from God. It also isolates people emotionally, relationally. Guilt and shame and broken relationships are often the consequence of sin. Both conditions have a smell that you cannot cover up, a foul odor, and visible decay. Advanced cases of leprosy can cause ulcers and open sores, rotting flesh, and it emits a terrible odor. The body is literally wasting away. Sin, especially habitual sin, can make a person's life rotten. Lies and greed and hatred and immoral practices produces a life filled with bitterness, filled with regret, filled with moral decay. Both of them spread and they affect others. Leprosy is contagious. It can spread over a long period of prolonged contact with the person that's affected. And then more people in the community get affected. Sin works the same way. A person's rebellion, whether it be something that you think is small, like gossip, or immorality, it influences others, corrupting families, corrupting friendships, hurting the church, even entire society. The Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good character. Leprosy in ancient times, there was no cure. Only divine intervention could restore a leper to society. That's what made this such a big deal. He had no hope. No one can remove sin from their own lives through good deeds or through personal effort. Only Christ, through his sacrifice, offers cleansing and forgiveness. 1 John 1, 7 through 9 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Another thing they have in common is healing and restoration through divine grace. Jesus healed the leper with a touch. This is significant because, according to Jewish law, you shouldn't touch a leper or you would be made unclean. But instead of Jesus becoming unclean, his holiness cleaned the leper. Jesus' sacrifice cleanses sinners. Through faith and repentance, a person is spiritually healed and restored in right relationship with God. Titus 3:5 tells us he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The gospel is the only solution. A spiritual leper is his only hope is the gospel. Leprosy, like sin, is devastating and leads to isolation, to numbness, to destruction. But however, just as Jesus healed the leper and restored him, he also can heal you from your sin. The leper cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus replied, "I am willing, be clean." This is the same response Jesus gives to sinners who come to him for forgiveness, no matter how severe your condition, no matter how severe your sin. Jesus' healing touch can restore, renew, and make a person whole. We all need a touch sometimes. We all need to be touched by God. You know what God uses in the church? He uses the elders to pray over people and to touch them. It says in James chapter 5, starting in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person availeth much. It is great power in its working. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to ask the elders to come up. If you want to be prayed for, whether it's for sin, whether it's for healing, whether you need a touch from the Lord to refresh you and to help you make it through, I want you to come to the center aisle, and the ushers will lead you up one by one. We want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you. And while we're doing that, if you are seated, I'd ask for you to pray for your situations, pray for those that come up to be prayed for. And while we're doing that, the worship team is going to sing a song. Won't you come?